is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Friday afternoon, and thanks for being here just ahead of the weekend. Make sure and stay with us throughout the weekend for updated information. Going to talk with Superintendent Michael Lasher of the Douglas Education Service District. Michael, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, it's always my pleasure, Kyle. Thanks for inviting me.
Obviously, the last 10 months have been just extremely stressful being in the field of education. I suppose that's like the understatement of the year.
I think it's been very stressful for a lot of different professions, but in education, I won't deny that it's been the most unusual year I've ever experienced.
So one of the things moving forward here with vaccines out now is moving to get vaccines to teachers. Now, I know a lot of things are still going on with vaccine distribution to healthcare workers and people in that 1A group and all of those folks, which encompass a lot of different areas. But talk about Douglas Education Service District's role and vaccines being available for teachers here soon.
Well, I'd be happy to. Douglas ESD is taking a coordinating role to try to get vaccines out to all people that work in education in Douglas County. We've been working on this for quite a little while, at least a month or more. And at first it was all about communication, and now it's about communication and then also trying to schedule and work with both Douglas Public Health Network and Aviva to set up sites to do vaccinations, as well as actually getting educators scheduled to do those vaccines. Our role is really to help the Public Health Network and also Aviva, you know, line up the people in education so that they can use the vaccine that they get as quickly as possible so that we can get more and more.
And with more schools going back to in-person learning, I know that there's a lot of interest there, maybe even some concern from teachers about going back to school, particularly Roseburg District doing that. A lot of the other districts have been in doing that already, and some are having to pivot back and forth periodically with individual schools due to COVID-19 situations, as we saw in Oakland yesterday. But one of the logistical things is, given the hours during the day when educators, teachers, and others work, just when do you do these things?
Well, that's a good, great question, Kyle. I think the Public Health Network is and Aviva are looking at really a two-pronged approach. One of those prongs will probably be, you know, vaccinations. Mass vaccination sites that might be at the fairgrounds or might be at a high school, and would try to, you know, get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible in this course of, you know, 4 hours or a day or something to that effect. And then I think the other prong of the approach is vaccines will still be distributed to, I think it's 41 different providers in Douglas County have registered to give vaccine. And those people will then, or those providers, doctor's offices, will be calling folks that are on a standby list of educators to schedule them to come in and get their vaccine. So I think they're trying two different ways to make sure that we are the most effective at getting out vaccines across the county.
And I know one of the protocols to all of this, as Dr. Dannenhofer has explained here on the radio a couple of times, is that after someone gets a COVID-19 vaccine, they've got to be observed for about 15 minutes in most cases, some cases 30 minutes. So it's not a matter of just getting it and letting folks go, which adds more complexities to the distribution.
Yes, the wait time afterwards is probably the most, not the most difficult, certainly, but is just a wrinkle in what would otherwise be just a you know, a vaccine or just like a flu shot. But yes, there have been, while it is very, very rare for people to have any kind of bad reaction beyond just having a sore arm or maybe feeling cruddy for a couple of days, you know, there have been a few cases of people having a more severe reaction. And so one of the things that I know Aviva is doing is that they are, at times that people are getting vaccinated, there's always a doctor. While a nurse may give a vaccine and there are other medical professionals there, there's always a doctor within, you know, sort of shouting distance to be able to attend to a patient who has a severe reaction and, you know, during that 15 or 30 minutes. Apparently, all of the cases where there has been severe reactions, it happens rather quickly. And we're taking in that into account as we plan for potentially regional vaccine clinics for districts. Would like to. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just thinking about for the Douglas ESD and the number of school districts. I mean, we're talking about quite a few folks when you talk about education throughout Douglas County, and even for some of the other areas that you cover with as well.
Yes, there are about 2,900 people that work in education in Douglas County. And about what we're seeing, we've surveyed multiple times all of the employees in Douglas County that work in education. Of that 2,900, we're seeing about 60% of people wanting to get the vaccination. And so we're really working with that group to, as they identify themselves as wanting the vaccine, to be able to get them vaccinated. Our hope is to be able to, you know, as everyone, including Aviva, the ESD, gets a better system refines the system of giving vaccination, we hope to be able to do that, you know, do one in Glendale, do one in South Umpqua, do one at, you know, at all of the school districts. If we're not able to do that, we'll be looking at regional distribution. So we'll have a vaccine clinic in a large one in Roseburg. We'll have one in South County, one in the North County, so that people don't have to travel so far.
Right. And with the educators' schedules, having it close by would be good. So a lot of options there. How receptive have educators been so far to being vaccinated?
We have, as I said, we have about 60% of educators across the county that are interested in getting the vaccine. Probably, I'm going to guess, another 5 to 10% of that group are maybes, have identified themselves as, yeah, they'd like to get a vaccine, but they want to get a little bit more information. And then about 40%, probably about 35% are, I'm going to wait and see on this. So I think as more and more people become vaccinated and, you know, their friends get vaccinated, I think we'll see a lot more educators who step up and get the vaccine later if they don't get it in the first round.
And it seems like getting a lot of folks vaccinated early on, though, will reduce risks of cases, because while most kids are asymptomatic when they are exposed to COVID-19, you've got a lot of educators that are, you know, they may have a medical condition of some kind, they may be older. You've got situations like that to think about as well.
That's correct. Yeah. And we've got, I mean, another group that we have that isn't often thought about is the ESD employs about 450 substitute teachers that serve throughout the county. And many of those people are retired teachers. So, you know, they're at least 60, 65 years old and plus. So we're also including them in the mix of people needing to be vaccinated.
And right now, my understanding from talking to different superintendents is that we really don't have an excess of substitutes. In fact, a lot of times when you get in the midst of winter, there's a shortage of substitutes.
Yeah, it can be a seasonal problem. It tends to be an acute problem that occurs when, you know, for example, in years past, a district might get a whole bunch of flu really quickly, and they have very short notice. Districts that really plan ahead or can plan ahead to getting substitutes are are almost 100% guaranteed that they will get the substitute. But, you know, if somebody calls in sick and you have a lot of sickness throughout the county, somebody calls in sick and says, we need a substitute, well, that all of the substitutes might be taken just depending on the situation.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District. We've got some other topics to get to as well. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson on the way at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Fridays, it's America Changed Forever from CBS Audio. A look at the Biden administration, the vaccine shortage, and the Biden economy. Gil Gross hosting that program this afternoon. It'll play back again on Sunday morning at 6. America Changed Forever from CBS Audio. Monday on Inside Douglas County, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us again. It's Michael Asher, the superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District now, along with dealing with getting educators vaccinated, making that available. I understand you've got a lot of other things going on at ESD, including early intervention and early childhood special education. Tell us about that.
Well, that's a program that serves kids, children from 0 to 5 years old. These are children that have some sort of delays in their development educationally or physically, and they are identified through a process and become part of our Early Intervention and Early Childhood Special Ed Program, or EIECSC for short. This has been a chronically underfunded program by the state for many, many years. However, in the last legislative session, as a result of the SIA Act and the additional funding coming into education in Oregon, they've really gotten a big boost. And so we're very excited about the possibility of expanding support and services to these children. Right now, in Douglas County, I'm going to guess we have about 450 children ages 0 to 5 that qualify for these additional services. And those might be physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech pathology, and they may have learning and disabilities or autism. And we're really excited to be able to provide those children even more services. One of the things that the limited funding in the past has really, we've had to ration out the number of times a month a physical therapist or an occupational therapist can work with the child. These new dollars will really allow us to expand our staff and provide more services to this really ever-growing population of children in Douglas County. We're very excited about it.
I would imagine that for some of these types of special needs, when you can begin providing services in helping at a younger age, that increases the long-term prospects of having a brighter outcome.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Kyle. The other thing that is critically important in helping children that have special needs or are delayed in some way is access and opportunity to play and be alongside of be alongside of children who do not have any delays or do not have any educational limitations. What we find is just like on the playground, you know, everybody wants to children compete all the time to in the games that they play. They also compete really well in the classroom. And if you have a child with a delay working alongside of a child who doesn't have one, that child with a delay is going to advance in the quickest way possible. It's the most effective therapeutic service and opportunity for that delayed child or that child with a delay. And we really look forward to providing more of those opportunities for mixing typical, what we call typical peers, and children with special needs.
And I would imagine for the kids without the delays, that's a really important learning experience for them as well. Building empathy, but just learning more about those around them.
You're right. And there's been some, I've seen some absolutely amazing videos that folks have recorded about friendships that occur between children that, you know, may are absolutely normal in every way. And then the friends that they make at a very young age who may have some delay or difficulty learning. And it's just the most heartwarming thing in the world to see.
Talk about the facility on Northeast Stevens. You used part of the Roseburg Library, kind of a change of a few years back with a partnership. You've got a number of people there. You've got staff at other locations. Of course, right now, a lot of people are working from home. But as you've used this facility at the library for a while, I sense that you're probably making some changes in terms of how things are laid out.
Well, you're absolutely right. The main administrative offices are at the library at Diamond Lake. But a few years ago, the ESD board set a goal of creating an early learning and parenting resource center out of the building that's on Stevens. That old building, as many of your listeners will remember, is an old Safeway building from way back, about 65 years old. And it's seen better days. I'll say that much for it. What we have done is the ESD has taken out a loan, about $6.5 million, of which about $4.5 million will go into that building. We're in the process. We've hired an architect in Pivot Architects out of Eugene, and just this last week we've named Harmon Construction our parent successful contractor. We've got to go through a little bit more process, but we think Harmon's going to be our contractor on this project, and we're really looking forward to, over the next year, upgrading that building, making it much more welcoming, and really turning it in specifically to a building about 22,000 square feet on Stevens that will be dedicated towards parenting and early learning. The staff is terribly excited, and it's really an opportunity that has been a long time coming.
Once you get into the throes of the construction process up the road, is that going to necessitate temporarily moving some staff elsewhere just to not be in the way of all the construction?
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. We've rented about 10,000 square feet at the Parkway Medical Building, which is right next there to Goodwill. The space used to be occupied, some 5 years ago by the Mercy Foundation, but it was available to us, and we've rented it from the owners. We're going to be moving our staff over there in about the middle of March, and they'll be there for we hope the construction, and our goal is to have the construction on Stevens completed by, December 31st of this year. But if it goes a little long, we have an option to lease that building over on Stewart Parkway a little bit longer and finish the job right. So I think it'll be, from what I've seen of the architect's renderings thus far, it's going to be an absolutely beautiful building and quite an upgrade from the space that we've had and from being an old Safeway building.
For parents that are working childcare after school or at times when school is not being held, is a big deal, and certainly during the pandemic has been even more of a struggle. What does ESD do in terms of being a resource for those needing childcare?
Well, this is an area that I think that we've just recently gotten into, and I think it will be one that will explode over the coming years, particularly with the state's interest in funding universal preschool, so preschool for every child in the state of Oregon, as well as it's coming out at the federal level that that's one of the important important goals of the Biden administration. So I think we're going to see the opportunity for more preschool for all children in Douglas County over the coming, say, 5 years. We inherited from UCC a program of the state of Oregon Early Learning Division, which is called a Child Care Resource and Referral. And they provide support, training, professional development, licensing to all the child care providers in Douglas County. And they're a tremendous resource. They help them with business plans. They help people in child care fields get additional education and maybe even degrees in the field. And really open up opportunities for them. And we've, Heather Fringlinger is the new, she's new to the ESD, but she's been with Child Care Resource and Referral for a long time. She's been greatly helped by our director of the Parenting Hub, Julie Hurley, who the two of them have worked on a child care coalition that includes businesses in Douglas County. As you mentioned, Kyle, everyone has become acutely aware during this pandemic of the need for childcare, no more so than businesses in Douglas County when they haven't been able to get their workers to work because kids have been home and parents need to be home as well. So we have a lot of interest in that childcare coalition from the business community. Really, they're focused right now a lot on short-term goals, but I think we're going to be able to have them really be sitting at the table when we talk about expanding childcare opportunities for all kids and all parents in Douglas County over the next few years.
Well, certainly a lot going on with Douglas ESD, and again, the hopes of being able to begin the availability of vaccinations for educators sometime next week. We'll update you as we get more information. Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District, thanks for being on this afternoon.
It's always my pleasure, Kyle. Thanks again. Take care.
You got 1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.